Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord, O Most High God. There is none other, there's none like him. It is a privilege and it is indeed a great honor to always be here, to have the opportunity just to be able to share a word from the Lord. So Father, in the name of Jesus, go before the throne with me. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and a people whose hearts are turned towards you. This morning, O God, as we worship you and bow down before you, O Father, we thank you, O God, that we are reminded of your word, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Father God, your word says that you dwell in the high and lofty place, mighty God. God, I bless you, O God, that Lord God, you so see our need. And Lord God, from your heavenly place, O God, you have chosen to dwell with man. And we are the recipient, Father, of your spirit this morning. God, I bless you for the enriching of your presence to your people. We present everything that we have before you. We present it at the altar this morning. And God, we ask that, Lord God, you would leave no stone unturned. But God, you would allow your word, O God, to saturate us this morning. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name.
Yes.
Praise God.
Greetings to all of the family that are present. All of you who have chosen to worship with us. We're worshiping from different places, different backgrounds. We have come, but nevertheless, we have come to God. And we have come because we have chosen this as our time of worship. And there's no better thing or better place to worship than together. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so we've come this morning. As we speak this morning, Israel is engaged in full-scale war. And that has been since October the 7th, 2023. As a matter of fact, I don't think I should say since that time, because the Middle East have been a place of turmoil and war. And so it didn't just start October the 7th, 2023. But I should say it was escalated on October the 7th, 2023. And so we must ask ourselves the question of what happened and how did it begin, that this particular escalation of war in that region. On that specific day, a mass militant invaded Israel, killing 1,135 people, somewhere about there, almost 1,200 people. And they took 251 people captives from Israelites, and there were some people from foreign nations, including the United States, making them hostage. And Israel, since that time, has responded with deadly force. To this day, more than 40,000, I believe, has been killed in retaliation. And Israel has made it its plan and its strategy to go after every single person who was instrumental in planning this surprise attack against Israel. Somehow they were able to breach Israel's security element. And so they're engaged in war. I'm not a Middle East expert, so I'm not going to go further into delving, trying to figure out what are the reasoning and all of that stuff. But I'm just here to be able to remind us that Israel is at war. I think only yesterday or the day before, there was an attempt to assassinate the Prime Minister of Israel because of the stance that he has taken. This morning we are looking at a few verses in the book of Daniel. And it talks about another war that existed in this first chapter. In this first verse, it speaks about a war that Israel was engaged in. And not unlike this particular war, there has been an invasion that has taken place. And so, in looking at where Daniel is, right, was at that time, we must also ask the question is, how did Israel get here and why? Because it's important to understand, to get sometimes an historical context of what transpired to cause the situation to be as it is. And so in that time, there was great immorality and lawlessness, violence and lack of justice, lack of righteousness, wickedness, if you will, oppression and greed at a grand scale. And God had sent his prophets to warn Israel. He kept warning them, this is for almost 200 years, to repent and to change their ways. And Israel kept ignoring the warning of God. As a matter of fact, we know about Hezekiah being healed. But in Isaiah chapter 39, Isaiah the prophet warned Israel that what we see here would take place. Because what happened is that Hezekiah got healed, and I think the son of the king, one of the king in Babylon, heard of Hezekiah's healing and sent him a letter, but also congratulated him. They were glad for his healing, and they sent emissaries to him. And Hezekiah made a blunder. Hezekiah displayed all of the treasury that was in his house and in the house of the Lord, the silver and the gold and all of the treasures. And so Isaiah came to him and asked him the question, what were these men here for? And Hezekiah responded, and he asked them also, Isaiah asked the question, what you showed them? Did you show them the things of the house? Hezekiah responded, yes. As a matter of fact, he answered and said that he showed them of the precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasury. And so Isaiah prophesied at that time and told him that, he says, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come. And this is in Isaiah chapter 39. That is warning, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And so this day came upon Israel, but it didn't come without warning. It didn't come without God giving his people, extending mercy and grace and extending it over and over and over again for them to come. And so Nebuchadnezzar, and so we must understand this, is that Nebuchadnezzar was acting as God's agent of judgment against Judah. Because in verse 1, it specifically says that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And it explains all that they took out. God had used this Babylonian king as an agent of judgment against his people. So we're talking about a war that exists now, but we also have looked at this particular war prior that brought Israel into disrepute, so to speak. And so that is the condition that Daniel was in at that time. And of course, they were brought to Babylon. The practice of the Babylonian kingdom at that time was whatever region they conquered, they are going to take the best of the things that is there, the best of the young men, the best of the leaders, because their practices is that we are going to train these people to be in Babylonian practices, in Babylonian education, so that we may use them for our purpose. They're going to teach them fresh and new things, but it's all Babylonian education. So Daniel moved from that culture in Israel to the Babylonian culture. And of course, Babylon was an heathen nation with pagan ways and customs, full of idolatry and idol worshiping. That was the condition that existed in Daniel's time. But the Bible also speaks of another time called the last days. Hallelujah. And it speaks of this last days, and it talks about, like in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about that this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Amen. For it says that, when I look at the Living Bible translation, it says, you may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. Amen, somebody. For it says, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends, the word says. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. Verse 5 says, they will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like this. The King James says of the last verse, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such turn away. Doesn't this describe our present world and human condition? I don't know about anybody else, but when I read this particular scripture, I'm getting to Daniel chapter, to the verses read. But when I read this in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, it paints a vivid picture of our world now. Now, earlier I spoke to you about what Israel's world was then when Daniel went into captivity. And I'm painting a picture before us this morning of what our world looks like now. In the scriptures read this morning, it says, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And verse 10 says, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my God the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your kind, your age, your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. I want us to truck along as I go through verses to verses. Verse 8 says, and this is highlighted, Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Let me say that again. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Our title this morning is Living Your Purpose in a Hostile Environment. Living your purpose in a hostile environment. That's what Daniel found himself in. And so, you know, our question is, how was Daniel able to overcome? We can learn a few things from him. Not going to dwell on these particular things, but we can learn these things from him based upon what we have read of Daniel's throughout the book. Number one is that he had a consistent prayer life. Hallelujah. He had a consistent prayer life. Number two is that he was determined to be faithful. And number three, he was steadfast in his commitment. Like I said, I'm not going to dwell on this, but in these verses which we just read, we see that commitment leads to favor with God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And so it begs the question, what do we mean by defile himself? In his day and time, as a Jewish young man, defilement came to, can come in so many different ways. But in this specific case, it's talking about his dietary intake. They were restricted from taking certain foods and kind. They were taught to wash their hands a specific way. They were taught that they would not, you cannot eat from pagan. The food must be cooked by Jewish people. So it begs to understand what is in these days what this defilement is. Jesus has fulfilled the law, though. He has fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And thank God, hallelujah, our understanding of defilement is much clearer today. There are many ways in which we can be defiled. One of the things that Jesus enlightens us about defilement, before we get there, let me just talk about, just a little about some of the things that cause defilement. An unbelieving and an impure mind and conscience. Where do I get that from? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Another cause of defilement is bitterness against others. In Hebrews 12 and 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Root bitterness can cause that. I want you to understand this very, very clearly, though, is that the cause of defilement is never breaking religious rules and rituals, which is what in Daniel's days there was a major concern, breaking religious rules and rituals. Not of Daniel, but in his time. In Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees, just to give an indication, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus and they saw his disciples eating without their hands washed. They asked the question, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. That would represent defilement for them. But I'm glad that Jesus came. I'm glad that Jesus opened our eyes. I'm glad that he fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And he taught a lesson to the scribes and the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 23. And I'm going to read these so that we can have an understanding and be clear this morning that defilement is not expressed by some religious rules and rituals that we do or don't. However, it is, and how we defile is not by thing, external things. In verse 14, Mark chapter 7, it says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. That's what we need to get this morning, understanding. He says, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Verse 16 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because the word says in verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that is what defileth the man. Verse 20, and we get explanation, verse 20 and 23. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. He says all these things come from within and defile the man. So it's not the external we're talking. When we're talking about defilement, we're not talking the external. But these are the things, our defilement is within. And one of the big things in terms of defilement, James chapter 3 and verse 6 helps us clearly. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Hallelujah. So one of the biggest dangers to us for defilement is our speech, as James explains here. Because this tongue is like a world of fire. It set it on fire, the course of nature. So we got to understand that defilement is extremely critical to our relationship with God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And as believers, we must address the issue of defilement in our lives. Defilement, I must warn you, defilement is a stench in our witness. Defilement causes our witness to be weak. We cannot be defiled and witnessing. It is a stench to our witness. But verse 9, I like what verse 9 says. It says, but God had brought Daniel into favor. Favor is a gift from God that represents acceptance, goodwill, and special treatment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a gift from God. That's it. You are accepted. You're accepted by me. And I'm granting you special treatment, which Daniel got. I guarantee you this morning that you and I have been the recipient of special treatment many a times without connecting it to the fact that it is God's favor. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. We have been the recipient of special treatment, and we have never ever connected it to the fact that this is God's favor been given to us. And it happens on a regular basis in our daily traversing. But we don't see it. And I'm helping somebody this morning that whenever you come into any place and they treat you right, show you special treatment, know that this is the favor of God. It's not that you're good looking. It's not that you're educated. It's not that you're wealthy. It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said the favor of God.
Favor of God.
So God brought Daniel into favor. I want us to understand this. That God specifies in Isaiah chapter 66 and 2 how he grants favor. In the second part, part B says, these are the ones I look on with favor. Right? He says, those who are humble and contrite in heart and who tremble at my word. So, favor comes. You have to be, number one, humble, contrite in heart, and you tremble at God's word. In other words, you regard God's word very highly. You take God's word very seriously. You take living, obedience to God extremely seriously. And you see it as something of importance, and it becomes an urgency and a priority in your life. Hallelujah. And there are many people in the world who God grant favor to. But before we go, I don't want us to miss this. If you look back at verse 9, I'm sorry, go back up to verse 8. In the bottom part, it says, therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs. I'm talking about humility. He requested. He didn't demand. He asked permission. Hallelujah. That's humility. That's the verse I just read. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. So in this particular verse here, it brings out a sense of humility with Daniel. He didn't go bragging, I'm a Jewish man, and we don't do that in our place. I'm a Christian, I don't do that. He understood that this eunuch was over him, and that there's a place that you can, where you humble yourself, even though you have certain rights and privileges. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there are some people in the scriptures, and I just want to touch a few of them, that also receive God's favor. The Bible says that Noah was a man of righteousness in a wicked generation, and he received favor from God. Abraham, the father of faith, he received favor from God. Joseph, from a slave to a ruler, he received favor from God. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Hallelujah. Moses, a very humble leader, he received favor from God. David, King David, the Bible says he was a man after God's heart. He received favor from God. And there are many more. Esther received favor from God.
Yes.
Mary received favor from God.
Yes.
Daniel received favor from God. And God has granted favor unto us to live in a time and a season where the culture is contrary and ungodly. And yet still he has allowed us to navigate the lifestyle and receive even favor from those who are ungodly. Because Daniel received favor from the eunuch. Now, in verse 10 it says, the prince of the eunuch feared for his life. And that tells me that Daniel had to face tremendous pressure to not conform to the ways of the Babylonians. The conditions around him, I want you to understand that the conditions around him did not change. It was a hostile environment. Ungodly practices, ungodliness was a lifestyle. And this is fighting spiritual war really by living a life that stands in contrast to what the norms of an ungodly society is. So he was fighting this spiritual battle. The environment never changed. Still hostile. Don't ever see yourself as a victim of circumstances. See yourself as being handpicked, strategically placed by God to let your light shine for his glory. Don't ever see yourself, you know, boy, this ungodly place and this ungodliness. It could be in your home. Let the understanding be received that you were handpicked by God and strategically placed by God to let your light shine. I want to tell the story of this, the former mayor of Miami Gardens, Mayor Shirley Gibson. She told us about how, you know, just growing up, there are some places that she could not go because of her skin color and all. She was not allowed to be in certain places. Yeah, and opportunities were not there. So she became mayor of Miami Gardens. And so she said, you know, when she became mayor, every meeting she's going into, every place, every one of them, she said, before I get through the door, I stop at the door before I get in. I brace myself, pull my shoulder back. And she said, and I just tell myself, I belong here. I belong in here. Nothing was given to her. I belong in here. And you need to tell yourself, I am a vessel of God. I walk in divine favor. Can somebody say that? I'm a vessel of God. I walk in divine favor. Can you put an hallelujah behind it? I'm a vessel of God. I walk in divine favor. Don't let anybody make you feel as if you don't belong here. I'm a vessel of God. I walk in divine favor. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. My Father is the creator of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord and its fullness thereof. My Father owned all things. I'm a vessel of God. I can't. we have to go through. And our example is Jesus. Glory. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says of Jesus, he says to us, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of God. In other words, because of what God had in store for him, he could put up with anything along the way. Whether it be the cross, whether it be shame, whether it be mockery, ridicule, he despised that. Now he's set down in a place of righteousness. And he's our example. And we must also be like Jesus. My question is, or my statement to you this morning, or the question is, how do you know when your light is shining brighter? Because sometimes it feels like the society is not receptive of what we're saying, that they might not be seeing us. But when those, you know, your light is shining brighter, when those who are around you start to notice more and more your outstanding commitment to God. Daniel had an outstanding commitment to God. And you know that your light is shining brighter when others around you are seeing it, and they will ask questions. They'll ask questions like, do you go to church every Sunday and during the week? You give to the church? How can you afford to? They might say, like, I noticed that you don't participate in XYZ. You put it there. You don't participate in this. My encouragement to you is this. Live so that they take notice of you. I say that again. Live so that they take notice of you. They'll see your good works, the Father said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we how do you do that? How did Daniel get through this thing? And how do we do it in our ungodly culture? With all of its ungodly customs. This takes patience. This also takes endurance. And this requires you and I to take a stance for God. This takes courage. But Proverbs 28:1 says that the righteous are as bold as lions. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. The righteous are as bold as lions. It takes courage, but yes, our God gives courage. So don't act like a victim. Don't talk like a victim because you're not a victim. They changed Daniel's name, but the Lord was in his heart. They could not change his nature. They could not change the spirit of God that was in him. Even though they changed his name. Many a times, you and I must put our conviction to the test and allow the evidence to speak for itself. People have a way of saying your life will speak for you. But we as believers, we must put our conviction to the test and allow the evidence to speak for itself. As a matter of fact, even with tithing in Malachi chapter 3 and 10, God himself challenges us to put him to the test. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And he says this, and prove me, test me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts. Test me. Put your conviction to the test. And let the evidence speak for itself. Hallelujah. 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 He says, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And he was just talking about tithing. But it's applicable to all of our lives. Put God to the test. Follow the word. Obey the word. Let the evidence speak for itself. So in Daniel's days and in Babylonian time, they had their customs. Here in America and elsewhere in the world, their customs. in America, their customs. As a matter of fact, one is coming up soon. Halloween celebration. And my question is, where do you stand on it? This is a custom. Earlier I said they will see you and ask you, oh, you don't participate in this, this, this. Elijah challenged the people of his days. He says, don't be caught in between two opinions. In 1 Kings chapter 18. Came unto the people and said, how long are you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. It says, and the people answered him, not a word. So he challenged the people in of his days. Joshua challenged the people of his day. Joshua chapter 24, and he said, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, the idols that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, hallelujah, we will serve the Lord. This is still our challenge in our day. Be true to your commitment to Jesus Christ. Nobody else saved you. Nobody else could save you. You could not have saved yourself. Be true to your commitment to him who gave his life for you. Glory to God. God, I praise you. Lord, I worship you this morning. God, I thank you this morning. You died for our sins. You redeemed our life from destruction. You heal us of diseases. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. By your stripes, your word says, I am healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am bought with a price. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They that trust in the Lord will never ever be disappointed. Put your conviction to the test and allow the evidence to speak for itself. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Now we bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let the praises of the high of the Lord rise among us. Hallelujah. Word of worship rise among us even as we bow down before you this morning, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our belief in God. Our belief in God should make a difference in how we live. It must make a difference in how we live. If you believe in God, it must make a difference in how we live. We must not be defiled by the culture, be defiled by anything. We must be undefiled. So our belief in God should make a difference in how we live. As a matter of fact, I say, must make a difference in how we live. So much so that the way we live should influence others to want to live the way we live and want a relationship with the God whom we have a relationship with. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I'm coming to a close, but I want us to understand this, that Daniel could do nothing about his environment or situation.
Yes.
But he could control himself. He could control his thoughts, his words, his actions. He could control that. As believers, we are living in an heathen world. We find ourselves in environments and circumstances beyond our control. But I'm saying to you this morning that we must learn to live our purpose in an hostile environment. Learn to live out our purpose here upon earth. This hostile world, this world that will soon come to an end. Live it out, trust God. Live according to your conviction and let the evidence speak for itself. Hallelujah. Somebody might be here this morning and you don't know the God that we're talking about. You've heard about Jesus, but you have never ever surrendered and asked him to come into your life. And I'm extending to you this morning a hand of fellowship. I'm extending understanding to you this morning that the Bible says that Jesus was crucified for our sins. We were born sinners. We inherited the nature of sin. This is how we came into the world, sinners. Before we could do anything else, we had this Adamic nature. We were sinners. But God, in his mercy, sent his son according to John chapter 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in John, he also says, but as many have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. So I invite you this morning to surrender. Is there even one among us this morning? Is there even just one person among us this morning who can say, Pastor, I don't know this God, but inside I'm feeling that there's a hole in my life. I'm feeling that there's something that I'm lacking. Like the rich of you ruler says, what lacketh I? There's a hole in your life. And what you're missing is a fellowship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I invite you to come. Is there another and another and another this morning? And I thank God for those who have come. And God, there are those this morning that have been in a relationship with you, but they have gotten into places and situations that have caused them to be defiled because they have not obeyed your word. And so as they come this morning at your altar, I'm thanking you, Father, that these which have said, Lord, purge me, wash me, cleanse me, heal me. I thank you that you have done that. May they receive that this morning in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for refreshing them and washing them and making them white as snow. I thank you, God, the Lord God, that they have lifted this heaviness and this darkness and this cloud that is overtaking them. Make them to understand this morning, Father, that they are not bound by their past, but that you have come, Lord God, to wipe away that past and to give them a clean slate in the name of Jesus. I bless you for them this morning. And I thank you, God, that your riches is beyond measure. I thank you for a fresh understanding and an opening of the eyes of God in the name of Jesus. I give you praise this morning. I give you glory this morning. Somebody is here, oh God, as a living witness and a testimony that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we may ask or even think. Somebody has experienced your goodness. Somebody has experienced your favor. Somebody walks in divine favor this morning. Somebody this morning, oh God, understands that I'm a child of the King. I am a child of God. I walk in divine favor. I'm a vessel of the Most High God. I carry about in me the design of the Lord. I thank you this morning. God, I thank you, oh God, for these your people. I thank you for touching them. I thank you for the increase of understanding. I thank you, O God, that they acknowledge you. I thank you for their worship, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, that they will reap the fruits of their fresh surrender. I thank you that they will reap the harvest of a fresh surrender. And I thank you that they will be impacting on the generation that is watching us. Because they will see our life and ask and wonder, what can they do to be like us? I praise you, O God, this morning for your goodness and your mercies. Congregation, just join me and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you. We bless his name this morning. We praise his name this morning. We give him thanks this morning. We worship him this morning. We exalt his name this morning. We honor him this morning. We bow down before him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your grace is sufficient for us this morning. I praise you, O God, for the increase. I praise you, O God, for your cleansing. I praise you for your washing. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.